Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
V Show continuing here on a Monday. ESPN 680 1057. The MVP, James Black. What's up, buddy? How are you, man? Yeah, we're on the air. L's up. James putting his L's up. That's always a good thing. Shout out to him in the great local coverage. I mean, it's what we do when there's a story. We try to go above and beyond, at least more so than anybody else in this town. We definitely tried to bring you the coverage, and we did over three hours yesterday of extended coverage after the Mark Pope press conference. We did that live on our airwaves. Shout out to Entz and Gandolfo and James Black for helming the ship yesterday while we did that. An interesting thing, I just saw this, and I don't know if it's worth getting into, but Pops won't follow this that much, but the Ali Khalifa story, he's a recruit that is, has he committed to Kentucky?
Oh, no, but he entered a transfer portal with the tag "do not contact." And then it was either, and then he's coming here for a visit. So now it's top three is us, returns to BYU, or UK. But the understanding I'm getting from a lot of Louisville fans are,
is he's following Pope to
he's
UK.
He's just going
to
follow Pope, and it's going to be a little like moral victory. Like, hey, we got this guy over you.
Yeah, and that's kind of this narrative that's getting painted. And I don't want to...
Like, it's more of like the fact, like, just don't get excited if you're a Louisville fan. Like, oh, we're going to get this guy. Like, probably not.
Right. But the term that our boy Sofaro used when he was doing an ESPN Louisville Plus video on it, and check it out, ESPN Louisville Plus YouTube, like, share, and subscribe, talking about how it's being fabricated that Khalifa was ever really interested in coming here. And it's really just being used as a way to try to get an early victory for Pope over U of L and Kelsey. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's kind of tough to gauge these things. I think it is going to be interesting because this isn't going to be the Cal era of recruiting, it seems like, of perennially having a top five recruiting class, not transfer portal class, recruiting class. And I mean, look, if you have the prestige of UK and the resources there, and I'm assuming they're going to get a decent NIL push for Pope. I mean, you're going to be able to recruit guys, but I don't think they're going to have that stranglehold of
like a
three top 10 recruit kind of
thing. Every year type things. So I certainly think that, you know, Pope's going to be able to recruit for no other reason the fact that it is Kentucky. But I don't think it's going to be to the extent that Cal did. So I think it's going to be interesting. Thank you, Pops. What this recruiting picture now looks like with Pope and Kelsey at the helm. Because you have a guy in Kelsey now who is fully investing his time and energy in bolstering the NIL and really using that major tool at his disposal and embracing it, as opposed to what Kenny Payne did, who definitely drug his feet in terms of the changing times that was NIL. So I think it's going to be interesting now to see what the teams for UK look like. Are they more transfer portal heavy? Are they still able to maintain those top five recruiting classes?
Yeah, I think it will be kind of like that Kansas State team 2 years ago that beat UK in the tournament, or the second round, where it will be more transfer portals right now because he's got it. Just had a press conference. Like, he's not going to have the most time to get the freshman recruits from, or like high school recruits.
Right. I wonder what, you know, every year the off season battle, what it looks like. And I don't think that UK is going to have that stranglehold of freshmen, but I also think that it's a changing time in college basketball. I'm not sure. I mean, it was coming readily apparent that, I mean, if they couldn't win this year in the tournament with the class they had, then, I mean, I feel like the answer is definitely in getting these upperclassmen transfer forward. What we're talking about, Pops, is I appreciate you getting some soda. There's a player, BYU, entered the transfer portal, Ali Khalifa.
Mm.
He entered the transfer portal.
I thought that was a porn actress.
That's Mia Khalifa. Ali Khalifa enters the transfer portal from BYU. And his choices are narrowed down to BYU. He has a do not contact.
Yes, don't contact him.
He's narrowed.
So if he goes to a Mexican restaurant, do not call the restaurant and ask to talk to him.
He's got it narrowed down to Kentucky, a return to BYU, or U of L.
Wow.
And a lot of people are...
I didn't even know U of L was on that list.
Oh, exactly. But that's exactly it. A lot of people are mentioning that it seems like Louisville's just on the list so that it's an early victory for Pope to get this kid.
Would the kid put that? The kid who's never set foot in the state, he wants to screw Louisville. So he's going to put them on his final list, even though he's not really considered.
It's just
amazing how quickly he was like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to try and be a jackass. So let me jump in there.
Well, I don't know about that.
Conspiracy theory.
Maybe
love
it's...
It. Love it.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Or he's actually considering Louisville.
Well, if that's the case, then
wait, how about that? You know what the great thing is?
I hadn't heard him like on anyone's radar, and the only reason I could maybe think that he would want to do that is just logistically, like, hey, while I'm there, maybe I'll visit Louisville too. But it's interesting.
Just put Transy on his list this afternoon.
Or Western or something. Simmons College.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah, speaking of something that's funny, I know this will never happen, but don't you think this would be hilarious? I'm not trying to minimize that. I hate all that, trying to figure out the kids' conspiracy theory. He's going to go somewhere. If you want him and he goes to Louisville, hooray. If he goes somewhere else, good luck to you, son. Let's get some other guys that we really, really like. I mean, but immediately the thought of the conspiracy theories, it's just exhausting. But, you know, it entertains the people and do what you want. But I'm just saying, I'm sorry if I didn't get that enthused about it. What I would find hilarious, DJ Wagner put his name in the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah.
How great would it be if he came here after Milt left and Kenny left and then he came to Louisville? Come on, that would be laugh out loud funny.
I mean,
that could happen, but it would be laugh out loud funny.
Aaron Bradshaw, by the way, going to Ohio State, evidently.
I went right up to Zach and I was like, hey, you know everything about this kid, so you're good.
So that breaking news in like the last 15 minutes. Chris Youngblood did not go take his visit over the weekend to U of L.
What? Any more awards of Leonard Hamilton? What?
Instead, signing with Alabama over the weekend.
Well, he's from Tuscaloosa too. I just found.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So we had no shot.
That's interesting to me, and I think that in this arms race that is NIL, I think it's interesting this concept of now people are paying. What is that? Is it the race?
It's a sign of an arms race.
That's an auto race. An arms race sounds like
that's what they're racing. They're racing in cars. That's what it sounds like if you stand in the pit at the Indianapolis 500, having been there.
Humble brag?
Yes, I don't care, though, because it's unbelievable. Like, I'm trying to watch our car. I couldn't even figure out which one it was because they're going so fast.
Yeah.
It's not like NASCAR where they have big, bright color things. I mean, I was like, is that him?
Do you feel the wind, like, when they're zipping by? Like,
no, not close. If you are, you're probably
dangerous.
Not where you should be.
Yeah, right. But this concept of paying kids to not just, like, sign with you, but they almost get, like, a signing bonus to cancel their other visits. And that's what evidently happened with Youngblood.
That's the thing now? They do. Yeah. They do. They get signing bonuses?
Yeah. If you sign with us now and don't visit the other places. but that's the game. Seriously, that's the game.
I'm amused. I'm entertained. You know, the sad thing is, I mean, I would never get to this level, but this would be the environment I'd like to recruit in.
Really?
I'd love this because you're not betting on the come. These are all guys who are proven commodities. I love that. Now you're just paying guys. So it's like, look, this is the best I got. It's like buying a car. I mean, like, this is the best I can do. Let me go talk to my manager. I'll see if I can kick in, you know, assigning a bonus if you cancel your last visits. And, you know, you walk back to your AD and you spend a few minutes in there and say, I'm going back there, but I'm just trying to, you know, make him sweat a little bit.
All right. So here's what we talk about the weather.
Here's what we can do. You cancel your next visit, free undercoating. That's what I'm saying.
Your first four tire rotations on us.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. No, so I would like that because, you know, listen, the NFL draft's coming up. You know, I don't care about that, sorry, because I know you have no idea whether these guys are going to be players or not. So when the draft's over, tell me where – I'd like to see who they drafted. I'm not completely oblivious to that. But you don't know. You have no idea. You have no earthly idea.
You're not excited about Caleb Williams going number one? He just worked out.
Yeah, he worked out. Remember?
I saw him. Yeah, I did see that. But, like, the portal? Oh. You know, I mean, that's, you know. And speaking of which, the WNBA draft is, in fact, tonight. We got two texts asking about that, which is good that there's that kind of interest in it. But it is number one. Did anybody see Caitlin Clark on SNL, by the way?
That was very funny.
She was good, I heard.
She ripped on Michael Che because it's a past because it's like a thing where the other co-host writes his jokes.
Oh, I've seen that where they go back and forth. Yeah, they make them read completely inappropriate jokes. Yeah.
And Michael Che has
very funny.
A grocery list of like making fun of women's sports.
Right.
So then they brought her out and she was like, yeah, like. And he's like, actually, I'm a huge fan of women's sports. She's like, that's not what I heard. And he's like, what's wrong with the clip? And then she had some very funny jokes.
I heard Ryan Gosling was terrific as the Beavis and Butthead
sketch. I didn't see
that
one, though. But, yeah, I saw Rummage tweeted about that, too. He said it was very funny.
It's too long, right? Play it. I guess it's 13 minutes long. Well, this one's 4 minutes long. I'd like to, because I didn't see it. I'd like to hear it.
No, let's play it a little later, because we got Mark Story coming on here.
Yeah, he thinks it's funny.
I can't hear.
Caitlin Clark will have her jersey retired and replaced with an apron. Well, the WNBA draft, is this Monday, and Iowa star Caitlin Clark is expected to be the number one pick. Here to comment is Caitlin Clark. Joke, whatever. I am a fan, Caitlin, by the way.
Really, Michael? Because I heard that little apron joke you did.
Well, yeah, it was a joke. We're just having fun, you know?
You make a lot of jokes about women's sports, don't you, Michael?
I wouldn't say a lot, but, you know, it's not on the regular.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot. I actually sort of made a supercut. Take a look.
Well, no, we don't have to do that. A number of sports bars around the country are promising to only show women's basketball games during March Madness. The bars are known collectively as the Empty Ones. The new report claims that recent stories on the Sports Illustrated website were actually generated by AI, and it's already making glaring mistakes. For instance, it made up something called the WNBA.
Iowa's Final Four game against UConn was the most watched women's college basketball game ever, with 14.2 million viewers, beating the previous record by 14.2 million viewers.
Wow. Call him with the receipts. Thanks, man.
No problem. You know, unlike Che, I support women.
Whoa. No, hold on. I think you're a great basketball player. I mean, I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well.
So she's doing what the other guy does.
Right.
The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University.
See, that's a good joke.
You really wrote these yourself?
Yeah.
Netflix's top new show is Ripley, featuring an eerie, unsettling performance by actor Andrew Scott. Critics say it's the hardest thing to watch on Netflix since Michael Che's special Shame.
I like that one. There's more.
This year, Caitlin Clark broke the record for three-pointers in a single season. And I have three-pointers for Michael Che. One B, two funnier, three dumbass.
Wow. Thanks for doing that, Michael.
Yeah, no problem. And good luck in the WNBA. I hope you have a great first season.
Thanks. I'm sure it will be a big first step for me. But it's just one step for the WNBA. Thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside. So I want to thank them tonight for laying the foundation. And Michael, since you're such a big fan, I brought you a souvenir. It's an apron signed by me.
Thank you. I can't wait to give this to my girlfriend.
You don't have a girlfriend, Mike.
Caitlin Clark, everybody.
She's pretty good.
She did good. That was good.
I don't think she really wrote those jokes.
Those were good jokes.
Yeah. That was funny. I'm glad we spent a minute to watch that. All right, Mark's story coming up when? Now?
Yeah. Take he was break, supposed to be back. 15 minutes ago.
No, it wasn't. He's coming on right now. Stay with us. ESPN 680 1057.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
B-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You just can't put stuff anywhere you want, you know? It's not fair.
Just like you can't call guests anytime you want?
Yeah. Did we just do that with Mark's story?
Kind of.
It's 1:30. We told him he was coming on at 1:30.
He said 1:15.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize. Mark, I'm sorry. We definitely are a little bit late, my friend. Thank you for coming on with us anyway and not pulling a Seth Greenberg and being all mad. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Glad to be here.
All right, let's talk about, I got to say what I said earlier and repeat it, the presser, yes, I don't care who you root for. You can be a Louisville fan, a Kansas fan, a Duke fan, was amazing. It was I've never seen a sold-out press conference before. 20,000 and then another 4,000 or 5,000 waiting outside. I know they haven't coached a game. He hasn't coached a game yet, but I'm not sure they could hit the ground running any faster than that. That was, were you surprised that it was that kind of turnout?
I was. I thought there would be 8,000, 10,000 people there, which would have been an outrageous, you know, showing. But, it, I mean, there were people, I mean, and I'm, we're not talking about a few people. There were probably thousands of people lined up outside like 2 hours before the doors opened, and they just never stopped coming. I don't know that probably it wasn't 20,000 because the way the arena was, you know, if you've been in Rupp Arena for a game, there are end zone seats in both on the floor in both end zones, and they weren't in partly because they were going to drive the bus in on one end. And I just think in terms of the alignment for the setup on the floor for the press conference, they couldn't have them on the other end. So, it, you know, it probably wasn't quite 20,000, but it was an unbelievable showing. And, you know, they had it sort of set up where they were only going to use one side of the arena, and it, people just kept coming and coming, and the upper arena end zones filled in, and they finally had to open up the other side of the arena, and they had set up like these, like kind of a curtain wall, just, you know, to sort of provide a background to the podium where they were going to speak, and they had to, you know, move that back and take it down and just, you know, filled it in. It was really something, and there were people. The fire marshal must take Sundays off. There were tons of people like standing in the aisles. I mean, it you know, if you've been around Kentucky basketball, you see a lot of kind of over the top displays of exuberance, but I don't know that I've ever seen one like yesterday.
Good. I'm glad that you said that because, like I said, I'm not the guy covering it on a daily basis, but I was shocked at that, and I'm amazed, and I tip my hat to them. I mean, that is absolutely incredible response. And let's be honest, and this is why I wanted to ask you, and it's not a slap at Mark, so don't at me, listeners, but it didn't exactly fill most of the fan base with exuberance when it was announced that Mark Pope was going to be the coach, and yet 20-some-odd thousand people showed up, and they brought the 96 championship team in on a bus, and everybody got all excited. They orchestrated it well, and the response was terrific. But how much, in fairness, how much of this response was, like I said, not because of Mark Pope, but because the fans, I think, have felt like they haven't had their voice heard in a while, and they wanted to be heard that they wanted a fresh start. I think Cal's message had gotten stale. I don't think that's particularly profound to say that. And I'm sorry to say it because it sounds mean to Cal, and it's not my goal, but it sounds like as much of the turnout was because it was a chance to say, the king is dead, long live the king, and goodbye and good riddance. What do you make of that?
I think that's an interesting question, and I've been curious because obviously the night, I guess it was Thursday night, when it seemed to become apparent that Mark Pope was going to be the selection, if you're just on the social media platform now known as X, a lot of the reaction seemed not just disappointed but kind of vitriolic. I'm fascinated. Did those people, you know, have they had a change of heart? Or were they just not representative of the larger fan base? You know, I do think as people sort of learn more about the hire and, you know, thought about it and what it meant, I think some people came around on it. But I also think the point you make is a good one. I do think there was just a powerful yearning for something different. As you said, you know, the Calipari messaging strategy, which I think a lot of Kentucky fans had always been uncomfortable with the way he promoted the program, just in terms of so much, you know, quickest path to the NBA. You know, I think a lot of Kentucky fans wanted the program to be promoted as, you know, Kentucky, a uniquely special place to play college basketball, and that wasn't what was being done. Now, when you're going to four Final Fours in 5 years, you can't really say much because what's being done is working. But when it always kind of grated on you and then it sort of quit working, you know, that was kind of a double punch to the gut, I guess.
You know, I just have to be honest with you, and we're all completely spitballing, you, me, and anybody else. Unless we somehow can get Nostradamus on the phone, then none of us really have any way to say. But, Mitch Barnhart said, to get us back to where we were. And I always feel like when really, really blue blood programs have hit a little stumble, when they looked back to go forward, it doesn't work that well. I mean, Pat Ewing at Georgetown, Chris Mullen at St. John's, Clyde Drexler at Houston, Kenny Payne here, and on and on and on. Now, in fairness, those guys had never been successful head coaches. This guy has been a successful head coach, so I don't think he's going to look like he's ill-prepared. No disrespect, again, to Kenny, but Kenny looked that way at times here. I don't think he's going to look that way. He's had a great run so far as a coach. He coached a year in a Power 6 league last year and did pretty well. So I don't think that's going to be the case. But this thought that somehow they're going to, quote-unquote, get back to that, I don't see that, Mark. Not because it's a knock on Mark Pope. I don't think anybody, quote-unquote, gets back to that now, the way college basketball is laid out. Carolina didn't even make the tournament after going to the national championship game, you know, and then came out this year as, what were they, a one-seed or a two-seed. It was up and down and up. I think that that's kind of the way it's going to go with all the transfer portal stuff. And the only thing that may happen is if you get good, you'll be in the mix more often than you won't. But nobody's going to dominate like they used to, I don't think. And as I said, that's not a knock on Mark Pope, but I do worry that people really think, hey, unless, you know, he's going back to the 90s, he's not going to get the job done. And he's not tempering the expectations to his credit, which is good. Fans want to hear that they want to win the SEC championship. It's not a nuisance, which sometimes is how Cal treated it. So he said all the right things, but where do you see the future, and what kind of success do you see them having?
That's a big question, and I, you know, have the circumstances changed that the quote-unquote, you know, blue bloods cannot aspire to the level of, you know, kind of their historic level of performance or domination? You know, I don't know that we have enough information yet in, you know, a rapidly changing landscape to really say that for sure. I think you can make a pretty good case. You know, I think we've talked on this show before. I think NIL and the transfer portal and all that, you know, rather than the rich getting richer, I think there's a maybe even a better chance that it winds up spreading the talent out and makes things more competitive, not less. Now, you know, that remains to be seen, because again, we're dealing with a very small sample size under the current environment. But yeah, I think that's a good question. And I also, you know, that thing yesterday was less a press conference than a pep rally.
Yes.
And it was a great pep rally.
I agree.
It was really good. But yeah, I actually had the same thought. You know, I know this is what a lot of Kentucky fans want to hear, but I don't know, you know, is it a message that you're going to get the kind of players you need to get to come play with that message? You know, I guess we're about to find out. But yeah, that actually is something I thought about too.
Talking to Mark Story, and it's always a pleasure to have him with us, and especially in light of what's transpiring in Lexington. And unfortunately, Mark, and this is not a fun thing for any of us to talk about, you're way closer to it than I am, but I mean, the whole situation with the swim program and the sex scandal, that is fraught with peril for Mitch Barnhart. If, in fact, you know, whenever something like this happens, you know, the first questions are, you know, who knew what and when did they know it? And that's going to be kind of the situation with him. If in fact there's a paper trail and it's obvious that somebody knew or should have known, somebody's head's going to roll. They're not going to get away with, I don't think, just having dismissed the coach. And if that's the case, the first person that goes is the athletic director. Is this a minefield for Mitch Barnhart in your mind?
Well, I think it's hard to know. We're pretty early into this just in terms of the level of information. But what we do know is beyond horrible. I mean, it's just an ugly, you know, just the accusations are just, they're just ugly. And yeah, I mean, it gets into, you know, who knew and when did they know and did they take appropriate actions? And, you know, I think minefield would be a good choice of words.
Any idea what goes on from here regarding that? I mean, I hate to say it, but we may kind of just be at the beginning of this, because I hate to say it again, because I don't want to sound like I'm minimizing the people making the accusations, because I am not by any stretch of the imagination. But it's the kind of thing that if they get their teeth into it, they don't often just say, well, okay, you know, you give us a couple of $1,000 and we'll go away. They get their teeth in, and with good reason. I understand. These are felonies we're talking about. I would, you know, you got your teeth sunk in. You do want heads to roll. And I don't know that just dismissing the coach is going to be enough. And is that where we are? Have they got their teeth in it, do you think?
Well, the lawsuit dropped Friday, so you know, we're very early in this process. The other thing, and I don't think this applies to the administration per se, but to the person accused of perpetrating the acts, I believe didn't we in Kentucky remove the statute of limitations from rape charges? I think it's possible that a criminal investigation arises from this.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I mean, he couldn't. And I understand. Sometimes guys say that and you think that really that's just because they don't want to talk about it. But that wasn't really the place to do it at the basketball press conference / pep rally. But B, I really think he's telling the truth. That's the kind of thing you can't really expect him to comment on now, can you?
Well, once it got into court, I mean, it's going to be hard to get any public comment because they're going to say, it's under litigation and I can't speak.
Where are we with the whole process? I'll be honest, sadly, I haven't followed it that closely, so I don't know where they are in the process. Is it in court? Is it going to court? Where is it right now?
Well, as I understand it, the lawsuit was filed Friday, so we're at the very start.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see where it goes from here. What do you think any of the kids in now we're going back to basketball because you can't finish a conversation without bringing up the portal. Any of the kids in the program remotely interested in staying, you think? They're all leaving. What do you make of it?
Well, my assumption from the time the John Calipari left is that the only player who was on the Kentucky roster last year or who had signed with or committed to Kentucky as a recruit for the class of 2024, who you could be pretty sure would be playing for Kentucky next year, is Travis Perry. Now, I'm not original in saying this. The one guy who absolutely should stay and play for Mark Pope is Zvonimir Avisic. If there's ever been a guy who was born to play in the Mark Pope offense.
That's true.
Five out, skilled big men passing and shooting. It was Big Z. Now, whether anybody in his brain trust, I don't know who. I don't know anything really about him. I don't know who sort of runs his basketball career. I would assume the one person that in the United States that he listens to is probably Calipari. And I'm going to guess he's not going to advise him to stay at Kentucky. But just as a stylistic match, he's the guy who ought to stay.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I always wonder about that. If a guy's leaving, I mean, unless he's leaving because he suddenly is fed up with the food in the dining hall or something. I mean, it's usually to get the experience of playing for a new coach. Well, you could stay right where you are, and you have the comfort level of knowing the neighborhood and everything else, and then you'll have a new coach. So I'm surprised more guys don't stay, in fact. Not just at UK. I'm just saying in general. I mean, isn't that the reason most of them go? Or, I mean, it may be for a better NIL deal. I'm not that familiar with that. Maybe they're getting more money somewhere else, but I can't imagine some of these guys are going to get a whole lot more money going elsewhere.
Well, I think if you're a good player, you have a lot. If you're and you're just making financial decisions, you should go in the portal every year and see if you can drive up your price.
Yeah, you might as well. Nothing to lose, right?
Nothing. I mean, if you're a good enough player that you don't have to worry about nobody wanting you. Now, there are a lot of people that go in the portal and never get out. Because some of them may be forced off teams, but I mean, there are a lot of people that go into the portal without a plan. But if you're a good player, a starting caliber player at a high level, I mean, you ought to go in the portal every year if it's just about the financial implications.
Yeah, absolutely. I should know this, and I don't. No, I do know this. I'm not even going to ask it, so forget that. I was going to ask... I didn't see the presser yesterday. I mean, it's nice that he being Mark Pope, had great success there as a player on a successful team. But we forget, it's been almost 30 years since he's there. How much is the same and how much is different for the guy?
Yeah, that's when I realized that I was working as a sports reporter for the Lexington Herald Leader and covering Mark Pope when he was playing here. And you may point out that it's been almost 30 years. That hits real close to home.
Yeah.
You know, obviously people, you know, of a certain age, you know, what when they had him come in on the bus with the trophy, they were replicating, arguably, you know, one of the most memorable moments of the night, the Patino era at Kentucky, when Mark Pope got off the bus in Rupp Arena with the championship trophy after they won the '96 NCAA title. You know, for those of us old enough to remember it, I mean, that was a really cool moment. It was kind of a powerful moment, but. You know, part of the problem is there's a whole lot of people that, you know, don't remember that at this point. And obviously nobody that you need to recruit to come play for you remembers that. So, you know, that I think some of that question goes back to what you asked earlier about whether just the, quote, getting back, end quote, is a good strategy for moving forward.
Mark, I do apologize for going a little bit late, but we appreciate always every week that you do find time to come on with us, especially right now. So we do appreciate it, and I'm quite certain we'll be picking your brain again in the weeks ahead. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you having me.
All right. We like that Mark story.
He's a good boy. He wasn't even mad that we were 15 minutes late.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't in the middle of, I don't think, I don't know, he wasn't in the middle of March Madness talk for a number of other stations like Seth was.
Yeah.
That was kind of... That was kind of like getting to Santa late during during Christmas. That was not my finest.
Or a tax guy. Today, today tax day.
Are CPAs in the honor group of the day?
Yeah, they should be because it's got to be crazy for them. How about you see the Mark Cuban? How much money must you have?
Oh,
did you see that?
I didn't see this.
He's wiring the government today. His share of taxes is $280 million. How do you just wire somebody that?
You know, just like Venmos them?
How much does he have? So forget about millionaires. He's got to be a multi-billionaire. Let's play the over-under game.
How much is he worth? Up,
how much is Mark Cuban's, well, Mark Story's net worth? I think it's a little less. Sorry, Mark Story. Mark, no disrespect.
I'm going to say $4.5 billion.
All right, that's his guess. You higher or lower?
More than that. I'm going to say $7 billion.
It's between the two of you. $5.4 billion.
What did he make his money in tech?
No, he started
Yahoo.
It was because of it was IU basketball, right? He wanted to find a way. I forget the thing where you use the internet to broadcast.
Really?
Yes. He was like the first guy to do that, and he was way ahead of the curve.
And then he sold it, and then bought the Mavericks, and then
now he still owns the Mavericks.
Is that the thing he owns the most? Like the most?
Mark Cuban is on
valuable asset he owns.
Let's see. He's from Pittsburgh, so he's got to be a good guy. He went to university.
Seems like a nice guy.
In Indiana University, got his BS there. I love guys. I didn't know about this. Early ventures ranging from selling garbage bags to running newspapers during a strike. Graduated from the Kelly School of Business at IU, embarked on a diverse business career, included founding Micro Solutions and Broadcast.com. That's the one where
Broadcast.com.
I first got
okay. Yep. Oops.
Both of which he sold at substantial profits. He then became a prominent figure in the NBA, active involvement with the Mavericks, frequent disputes with league manager. His business career, moved to Dallas in July of 1982, where he first found a job as a bartender for a Greenville area bar called Elon, and then as a salesperson for Your Business Software. He was fired less than a year later after meeting with a client to procure a new business instead of opening the store. I'm not opening today. I'm getting new clients. Cuban founded Micro Solutions with help from his previous customers. Was initially a system integrator and software reseller. The company was an early proponent of technology such as Carbon Copy, Lotus Notes, and CompuServe. One of the company's largest clients was Perot Systems. The company grew to more than $30 million in revenue. And then he sold it in 1990 to Micro Solutions CompuServe for $6 million. He made approximately $2 million after taxes on the deal. In 1995, this is where I got to know his name because I thought this was actually kind of cool. Cuban and fellow Indiana alum Todd Wagner joined AudioNet, which had been founded 6 years before, combining their mutual interest in Indiana college basketball and webcasting. With one single server and an ISDN line, AudioNet became Broadcast.com in 1998. By 1999, Broadcast.com had grown to 330 employees and $13.5 million in revenue in the second quarter of the year alone. So in less than 4 years, he went from a startup – to $13 million a quarter. In 1999, Broadcast.com launched the first live-streamed Victoria's Secret fashion show. Nice work out of you, Mark. That year, during the dot-com boom, Broadcast.com was acquired by Yahoo for $5.7 billion.
Jeez. What's on Broadcast.com now?
Type and see what comes up. I don't even think it exists. I think it's been bought by something else. Broadcast.com.
And porn.
It is not. Is it
no,
really?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I don't know.
It would have been. That was my first guess, though. I could just see it.
Broadcast.com. Boom.
Nothing's coming up.
Yeah, I guess maybe it doesn't exist anymore. Here it is.
Seriously, I got a white screen. I got nothing.
Well, I don't know what happened to it.
Well, that's loading. I saw this. That was funny.
I don't know what happened to Broadcast.com. It's a good question. Type it in Wikipedia and see what you get.
This is fitting on this tax day. I saw this on Twitter. IRS, you owe us taxes. Me, how much do I owe? IRS, you get to figure that out. Me, can I just pay what I want? IRS, no, we know exactly how much you owe, but you have to guess the number too. Me, what if I guess wrong? IRS, jail. That's
Broadcast.com was an internet radio company founded as AudioNet in 1995. Todd Wagner and Mark Cuban later led the company's daily operations, which eventually sold to Yahoo in 1999 for $5.7 billion, making it the most expensive acquisition Yahoo ever made. The service has since been discontinued. So it is out of business. Discontinued. So they paid $5.7 billion for something that doesn't exist. When the hell did it go out of business? That couldn't have been a great investment, could it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I never remember hearing about this. Like,
in April of 1999, less than 9 months after the IPO, Yahoo announced the acquisition of Broadcast.com for $5.7 billion in stock, by the way. At that time, Broadcast.com had 570,000 users, and the purchase price was $10,000 per user. Cuban sold most of his Yahoo stock that same year, netting over $1 billion. Founder Chris Jabe, whose stake was diluted to less than 1% of the company, received approximately $50 million from the sale. So Cuban did a much better job. The service became part of Yahoo Broadcast Services. Yahoo shut down much of its broadcast services in 2002, and Broadcast.com has since been discontinued. Yahoo's high-profile purchase of Broadcast.com has since been called one of the worst internet acquisitions of all time.
Wow. So good work out of Cuban. Yes. Got off a sinking ship.
Good boy. Good boy, Marky. I like him on the Sharks.
Yeah, me too.
Who's your favorite Shark?
Probably him and then Lori.
And then the other two are... Oh, I like the guy on the right.
One of them, the bald guy, seems tough.
Yeah, he's a pain. He's Mr. Wonderful, but he's that's his persona for the show.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be the tough judge. Yeah.
But can I be candid, since I don't know how else to describe it? If you looked at the set from left to right, it's Mark Cuban, the African-American guy whose name I can't remember, Laurie.
Grenier, yeah.
And then the bald guy.
Yeah.
And then the guy on the right, Robert, that's his name.
Yeah.
I like Robert.
Robert?
Yes. He's funny. I think he's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all pretty nice.
No, I mean, by and large, yeah.
They're sharks, except Mr. Wonderful, but that's what he's supposed
to be. Yeah, he's supposed to be the curmudgeon-y guy. Yeah, even then, he's a likable curmudgeon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It is a good show. It's a quality show. I think it would be appropriately named Sharks. You'd be terrified going on there.
Me?
Anybody.
Oh, I wouldn't be scared. If I had a good product,
I just envision. Oh, I'm sorry. I love you to.
Oh, pieces. I would be. It's terrible.
Your hair's not combed. You walk out. You're like, Nick, were you gonna? I was gonna change it.
All right. So I got an edible corn dog stick idea. I'd probably leave there owing them money. I'd be so bad at negotiating. How'd it go, Nick? Well, I owed Mark Cuban $200,000, but...
Oh, I don't know. He was just so persuasive. I signed the dotted line, and I'm in debt.
I'm in debt.
I don't know how.
But I had a good time.
Texter makes a great point, because I do think we all owe a debt of gratitude. Broadcast.com.net, is the reason we can watch games online and streaming. It wasn't about the company. It was about the tech. Every streaming company was birthed from that technology. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Cuban dumped his Yahoo stock immediately, which infuriated the company. but he wanted the money. Damon Johns is the African-American guy. He founded FUBU. Oh, man, that's pretty...
Yeah.
Even, yeah.
For us, by us.
Yeah, no, he did pretty well. I like him, too. He's a good guy.
Now Cuban owns like a cost plus drugs. It's like a prescription drug company, but it's like...
Oh, and you get them like for cheap?
But yeah, like his nice. Goal is like, yeah, I want to help people out, but also not kill their wallets.
I like...
Appreciate that.
This is a harsh... Not harsh, but fair. Mark Story's brief, almost disinterested answer to your question about the swim team makes me think the Herald Leader isn't exactly going to doggedly pursue it. I know the lawsuit was just filed, but he sounded anything but inquisitive. I was a little surprised how short his answers were, too.
Hmm.
But my guess
That's not going to help any of the conspiracy theory stuff.
But I think, knowing him as I do, he doesn't like to comment on things that he's not...
That he's not actively covering. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Let's see.
Can we take a break? Because I got to pee. I'm going to be 100% honest.
Let's give a history of the NBA while we're here. Because the playoffs start tonight. Let's start back. You know, the first game was actually... No? All right, we'll take a break.
A word?
We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.